I want to welcome everyone to our church this morning. And I'm glad that you were able to make it here today. I am actually looking for someone. If you guys can help me find him, that would be very helpful. I am looking for my brother Aaron. Has anybody seen him? Aaron, are you here anywhere? Aaron. It doesn't seem like it. When the pastor asked me to come and talk with you today, I was a little reluctant to do that because it's actually not my favorite place to be speaking to someone and speaking to you guys like this. And I was hoping to get out of it. I know I have a brother, Jeff, who is a preacher, who's actually a little more comfortable in front of people. But he's out in Louisiana, and he can't make it out here. So I was trying to make a deal with God, saying, why don't you find me a brother, Aaron, to come and talk in for me like you did for Moses in the old days there. And that's why I was looking for my brother Aaron. But it doesn't seem like is there any Aaron? Last opportunity, is there an Aaron out here? No, there's no Aaron. Well, I guess I'm stuck. But anyways, last couple of days I haven't really been able to sleep too well. And that's why I was hoping that my brother Aaron would show up. But and the reason for it is because every time that I'm asked to come in front, it's not so much that I'm nervous because I kind of have gotten over my nervousness, but it is, more importantly, is because I want to make sure that the message I bring to you is a message that will point not to myself but to Christ. And it is such an overwhelming responsibility that's why I kind of try to get out of it. So today I'm going to try my best to point you to Christ with the hopes that we will all together ask Christ to be the center of our life. In the last few days, the last couple of years, I have had a burden on me, and I believe that maybe it has culminated to this point today. And so, I'd like to talk to you about you. You've heard the verse for today, so I'd like to begin to talk to you a little bit about America. And we know that we as Americans have a great history and have suffered many wars, but nothing has really impacted us so much as to when the war is brought here at home. I don't think there has ever been any other impacts like that upon the United States upon the people of the United States as to when the war is brought here at home. And when the war is brought here at home, there are men that have stood up to inspire a nation or a people to stand up for what we believe in. And I'd like to take you to those words of two men that have stood up and have inspired a nation. Let me read this to you, and it's not the whole speech, but it's a portion of it. Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. Japan has therefore undertaken a surprise offensive extending throughout the Pacific area. The facts of yesterday and today speak for themselves. The people of the United States have already formed their opinions and well understand the implications to the very life and safety of our nation. As Commander-in-Chief of the Army of the Navy, I have directed that all measures be taken for our defense, but always will our whole nation remember the character of the onslaught against us. These were words spoken by Franklin D. Roosevelt. That was an event that impacted the hearts of our people when the war was brought here at home. Let me read to you some other words as of more recent. September 11, 2001. Good evening. Today, our fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts. The victims were in airplanes or in their offices, secretaries, businessmen, women, military and federal workers, moms and dads, friends and neighbors. Thousands of lives were suddenly ended by evil, despicable acts of terror. America was targeted for attacks because we're the brightest beacon for freedom and opportunity in the world, and no one will keep their light from shining. And so these were inspiring words at a time of crisis when America was attacked. Today, though, I want to propose something different. Today, I want to propose to you that the war, that there is this great war, and that this war is being brought to us, to our homeland of our hearts and our families. And I want to say to you today that I believe that it is time for us as a people of God to stand up and to do what God wants us to do as his people. Most of our world today has rejected the Prince of Peace. And there has been talk for many years of peace being brought to this world. But I want to say something to you today, that there will never be peace in this world. Not like the peace that we desire, because the majority of the world has rejected the Prince of Peace. The leaders of the world have rejected the Prince of Peace. And I want you to bear with me a little bit, because I'm bringing to you a little bit about bad news today. But there is good news. And so just bear with me a little bit, because the reality is this, that there will never be peace in this world because this world has rejected the Prince of Peace. And only the Prince of Peace can bring peace to us. Only Jesus Christ can bring peace to us. There is no one else. The Bible is very clear about that, and so is Jesus Christ. He said that he is the one that can bring peace. I believe today that most of the world and most of the leaders of the world today are preparing, because of the rejection of the Prince of Peace, are preparing the world to receive a false Prince of Peace, to receive a false Messiah. And even among churches today, I'm saying that some churches today are preparing for the same thing. And something scary that I read recently, and I was kind of, I guess in my opinion, it was kind of shocking. I heard it from another pastor, and it's very interesting how these events are taking place today. But an author, a writer, actually a Vatican insider, who was actually a Jesuit, was a former Jesuit, Malachi Martin. The pastor has talked about him before, and he's no longer with us, but he wrote something interesting that I hadn't heard before. As former Vatican insider, Malachi Martin asserted that a satanic enthronement ceremony took place in the Vatican in 1963. The result of this ritual meant that the Vatican manifested what clerics refer to as the superforce. So I want to say this to you, whether it's true or not, and whether we believe this or not, we know that a system that has persecuted the people of God and has killed thousands and thousands and millions of people could not be worshiping the true God. And whether they're worshiping Satan or whether they're worshiping another God, they are not worshiping the true God. And so I believe that today the world is preparing for that. So now that I told you about these bad news, I want to tell you what I am compelled to tell you, which is we are standing on the threshold of great and solemn events. And we as his people must know the reasons for our faith. We must know what we believe in and where we stand. Because the importance of the solemnity of the scenes that are opening before us demand this. So I want to say to you that this war is real. And the war that we are involved in is a war that dwarfs any other war in Earth's history. A war that extends even unto the stars. It goes beyond our little planet, but at the same time, this war has been brought to our souls, to our homes. This war is being fought for your souls, for your wife's souls, for your children's souls, for your father, for your mother, for your sister, for your uncle, for your aunt, for your cousins, for your entire family. This is as real as it gets, brothers and sisters. This is a real war. If you don't believe me, let's look back again to Revelation chapter 12 and verses 17. And when we get to the word offspring, I want you to put down yourself. And it says this, Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring. Offspring meaning against us. And those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of God. Hold to the testimony of Jesus. I want to tell you this, brothers and sisters, that we have an enemy. We have an enemy that wants to kill you and destroy you. Jesus said that he was a murderer from the beginning, and he's still a murderer. And he wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy us. And he is using every device. He's using every device to get to us, to get into our homes. To make us upset, to bring depression upon us, to keep us busy with all these things in life, to cause fights among us, to cause divorce, to cause distress, to cause separation. Why is he doing that? Why is Satan doing that? So that we can lose sight of Christ. So that our focus is far away from Christ, and our focus is in trying to resolve all our issues, in trying to fix our homes, in trying to fix our families. And I want to say this to you, to be frank, I am tired of it. I am fed up with it. And I think it's time And I'm saying this to myself, but I'll also say it to you. I think it's time that all of us together take a stand and take a stand for Christ in a strong way. So I call upon the church and I call upon the men and women and the children of this church to stand up today, to take hold of Christ in your lives and to fight back. And I call you to be, today I call you to be the John the Baptist of today. I call you to be the Elijah of our day. I call you to be the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego of today. I call upon you to do that. I call upon myself to stand up and to do that. And I call for us to stand united as a people to make a resolve that we should make Christ the center of our life. Why do I call you to be the John the Baptist of today? Well, if we go look back and see what comments Jesus made about John the Baptist, we're going to see something pretty interesting. Let's go to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and verse 24. And he says this, after John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. And he asked this question, "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.'" So Jesus asked the question, who did you go out to see? What did you go out to see in the desert? A reed swayed by the wind? What do you think that means? A reed swayed by the wind. In other words, did you go out to see a man that changed his opinion? A man that went with the wind, whatever the wind, wherever the wind blowed, if the wind went south, it went south. If it went north or east or west. Did you go see a man that was just swayed by the wind, by the circumstances of life, or by the challenges that he met? Was this a man that was swayed? And it obviously was not. John the Baptist was a man that stood strong and was sent as a messenger to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. And he stood firm. Let's look at Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 18. And verses 16. First Kings chapter 18, verses, start with verse 16. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And when he saw Elijah, he said to him, Is that you, troubler of Israel? I have not made trouble for Israel, Elijah replied, but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's command and have followed the Baals. And in verse 21, Elijah stands up to the people and says, Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you halt? How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." And I believe today we need people like Elijah. We need people like Elijah that will stand up for God's truth, no matter who they're standing up against, and will call for the people, for us, to make our decision. How long will we waver? Are we going to stand for God, or are we going to stand for the things of this world? Are we going to spend our life toiling between all the worries of this life, or are we going to stand for Christ? Elijah was a man that was decisive and that took action for what God wanted him to take action, although he was human just like us. God calls us to be the Elijahs of today. And he also calls us to be the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego of today. Everybody knows the story of how these three young men stood up against an entire kingdom. They didn't just stand up against a magistrate, or they didn't just stand up against one or two people. They were standing up against a whole kingdom. And they were people just like you and me. Let's go ahead and read in Daniel chapter 4. And we know the story about how the king Nebuchadnezzar made an image that everybody should bow and worship it. And the whole kingdom was to do that at the point where all the musicians were going to play and worship it. Every single one should bow down and worship this image. But let's see what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did in Daniel chapter 4, verse 16. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set before us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were people who stood for what they believed in. And as a result, we know the story that they were thrown into the fiery furnace that was heated up not just one time, not just two times, but seven times hotter than it was. And what happened? As they were thrown into the fiery furnace, the men that were throwing them in were consumed, dropped dead. And as they were inside, they were not burning. There were shadows that you could see through the fire. And the king looked up and not only saw three men, he saw four men. And we know that who that was, don't we? We know who that was that stood with them. We know that it was Jesus Christ, because even Nebuchadnezzar said that it was somebody like the son of the gods that was there with them. And we know that afterwards he took him out and they were saved. So today I'm calling upon the church, upon us, to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because this is how I like to remember them. Once I heard this before and I've always never forgotten. This is how I like to remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because they did not bow, they did not bend, they did not budge, and therefore they did not burn. The three B's. They did not bow, they did not bend, and they did not budge, and they did not burn. Today I call upon us to be like them. To be strong like them. But how can we be strong like them? How can we have that faith that they had, that they stood up against an entire empire? Can we be like that? Can we stand up against an entire empire and say, we believe, as for our household and us, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and no one else? Can we be like that? I believe we can, because God empowers us to. He has actually set us up. He's actually has given everything to us. All we need to do is accept it. And if you look at Ephesians 6, and we know that there's an illustration there about the armor of God and what we could use to defend ourselves against the attacks of Satan. We know that God is giving us the belt of truth. And what does he mean by giving us the belt of truth? He's asking us to be truthful to ourselves, to be ourselves. Everywhere we go, God wants us to be ourselves, to be truthful. God wants us to wear the breastplate of righteousness. He wants us to wear his righteousness. He wants us to have the shield of faith. He wants us to be faithful to him in everything that we do. And he wants us to take on the helmet of salvation. You know, when I was studying about the helmet of salvation, and you know, it's more than just the thinking of salvation. God wants us to have to be in order to fight the schemes of the devil. We need to have thoughts of salvation continuously in our mind. We need to think about what Jesus has done for us to live forever. He died for us. He gave his life for us, and we need to have those thoughts continuously in order to defend ourselves from the attacks of Satan. So today, brothers and sisters, I want to call you to stand up for Christ. And I would like for you to stand up and make a commitment. And make a commitment that you will make Christ the center of your life every single day. Because the times are coming and are near when darkness is going to cover this earth. And the only thing that's going to save us from this is our faith in Jesus Christ and how we gave our life to him. If we give our life to him now and put him as the center of our life, we will be preparing to receive him. But if we don't, what are we going to be preparing for? So today I make that call, and I ask that we start with our families. I ask that we start with our wives, with our husbands, with our children. I ask that today we make a resolve that we will defend our families from the attacks of Satan, and that we will stay strong, united in love. And I like to ask for those of you that want to take that stand to stand up today, right now, who want to take that commitment. And I want you to turn to your families and to look at them. And I would like for you to start with these words with our families, because you know what? Satan has been attacking our homes. Satan has been attacking us. And I want to say this to you. I have experienced those attacks in my home and in my family. And that's why I felt compelled to say this today, that we are here now to take a stand. And I want you to turn to your family, to your wife, to your brother, or to your sister, and I want you to say these words. Forgive me for anything I have done against you in the past. Let it be forgotten, and let's take a hold of Christ together, and let him fight our battles for us. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I want to thank you for what you have given us in our life. You have given us the gift of Jesus Christ. You have given us a way out. You have given us hope. You have given us the opportunity of having eternal life and to live with you forever. Father, We know that there is bad news, but we also know that there is good news. We also know that there is a plan, Lord, that you have prepared since the beginning of this world to come as King of Kings, to come in glory, to come save your people. And Lord, we pray that you will do that soon. But meanwhile, we ask today here as your people, as you have seen that we want to make a stand for you, Lord. We want to put you first. We want to put you as the center of our life. We want to ask you to come into our life and to remind us daily that we need to stay with you, Father. That we cannot be defeated if you are with us. And so today, Lord, I pray for that. I pray that you will be with every single one of your people here today. That you will strengthen us. That you will prepare us with that armor that we are to stand with you no matter what comes upon us, Lord. We know the end from the beginning, and we know in the end we will be with you forever. Let that be our hope. Let that be our desire more than anything else in this world. I pray this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.